Good morning, beloveds. We have toilets. All right, let's jump into God's word. We're reading from John chapter 7. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He's a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he's deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. "Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him?" "No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them." Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you'll find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee." For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can come knowing you, that you want us to know more of who you are. And God, we ask you to be speaking your truth to us. God, would you stir in us this morning the truth of who you are and what it means for us? Holy Spirit, would you be at work in us, helping us to know what it is to follow you? And Jesus, would you be glorified in all that is said this morning and help us to worship and walk in step with you? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in week 7 of our series looking at the Gospel of John. And we're exploring this through the lens of why John wrote his Gospel. John says in John 20 that, "I wrote these things for you that you might believe in Jesus, that we might know him as the Lord and Savior." And over the weeks so far that we've been in the Gospel of John, we've seen some of who Jesus is. We've seen Jesus heal and restore life. We've seen Jesus proclaim the truth of himself as one sent by God. We've seen Jesus teaching the crowds about who he is. Today, as we come to looking at our passage, I want to take it from a different perspective. What is it that stops us coming to Jesus? If John has written it that we might believe in Jesus, well, what is it that actually stops us coming to him? Because we can know all of these things about who Jesus is. We can be amazed at his miracles. We can be amazed at his teachings. And we will still find excuses to not come to him. And so I wonder this morning, what is it that stops you coming to Jesus? What is it that stops your friends, your family, your classmates, your colleagues, come into Jesus. Maybe it's a self-sufficiency. It's the fact that we can do things on our own. It's our ability to get through this situation if we just have enough grit. Maybe it's an I know better attitude. I know better than God in this situation. Maybe it's shame and fear that we don't want to actually admit that we need help, that we can't do this on our own. Maybe one of the reasons we don't come to God is actually that we're managing God, that we feel guilty about what we have done. We know we don't deserve God, and so we go, well, God, I'm not going to come to you until I've paid my penance and paid my dues, and then I can come to you. Maybe it's just a question of, do I trust God in this situation? Well, in John 7, we actually see a number of reasons why the people won't come to Jesus, why they stop coming to him. And so today I want us to explore some of these reasons and question our hearts within this as well. Are these motivations that stop us coming to Jesus, and what is the answer for that? So the first reason that we see people not turning to Jesus is because Jesus can't be used for our own purposes. See, we want to use Jesus for our own purposes and good, and Jesus doesn't operate like that. We can't manipulate him. We see this with Jesus' brothers coming to him. They come to him and say, Jesus, come up to Jerusalem. Go and show yourself and show your miracles that your disciples there, that is the believers in Jerusalem, might see your works and believe in you. You want to be a public figure, so go and live it out. In essence, what they are arguing for here is for Jesus to go and build his fame in Jerusalem. But they're not doing this because they believe in Jesus. John makes that clear for us. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Now, what the brothers here are asking Jesus to do is to go to Jerusalem and build his fame that they might get some of the glory. You know, we know what it's like. If we have someone famous, the family, by association, gets some of that prestige as well. And so Jesus' brothers are like, yeah, we want more of that prestige in our family. We've just lost some of it. At the end of chapter 6, a few months ago in John, we've seen that actually the disciples have left Jesus, that the crowds aren't with Jesus. And so the prestige of Jesus has dropped. The family prestige dropped too. So the brothers see this as an opportunity. Hey, we can get our prestige back. Jesus, if you just go to Jerusalem, you get your fame again, and we'll get that luxury again. In many ways, the issue here for Jesus' brothers is that they want Jesus to meet their own needs by doing what they think is best. They want to manipulate him into this situation. And this isn't how Jesus operates. We can't manipulate Jesus into doing what we want just because we think we've ticked all the right boxes, done all the right things, said all the right words. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is not a magic genie who grants our wishes. And because of this, people turn away from Jesus. We think this is what we want. We want someone who's just going to give us what we desire. But see, following Jesus is not about some system of religion that gives us a moral, therapeutic deity who will grant our wishes, tell us how we're supposed to live. Following Jesus is about a relationship with him. Following Jesus is saying, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm going to come to you no matter what, whether you give me what I want or not. See, it's why Jesus says in the Gospel of John time and again, what is the works that are required of you? The works are to trust in the one who God has sent. Who? Jesus. Believe in him. That's all that's required. Keep coming to him. Keep bringing it to him. And so it's about us choosing to trust in Jesus in light of his love and his grace and his work in us, and us living in light of this. It's not about us saying, well, I've done all the good work, so God, you up, hold up your end of the bargain. No, it's saying, God, you've done the work, and I'm going to trust in you no matter what. So if we've stopped responding to Jesus because we're disappointed that he hasn't answered our prayers exactly as we wanted, like a genie granting our wishes, then this morning, perhaps what we need to remember is that the greatest thing about God is not that he is a genie, but that he is a God who is with us, and he wants to walk and be in relationship with us. See, this is the God who offers springs of living water to us through the Holy Spirit, so that no matter what, we might be in relationship with him, and that he is with us in the midst of the good and the bad. He is with us in the midst of the storm and the sunshine. And then we need to keep coming to Jesus with everything that we have and saying, God, I'm trusting you no matter what. I'm looking to you in this. So we stop coming to Jesus because we want to use Jesus for our own purposes, and he doesn't work like that. The second reason is that we don't like what Jesus says about us. People stop coming to Jesus because they are uncomfortable with what he says about our way of living. Jesus' response to his brothers, as we heard, is that he can't go up to Jerusalem because it's not yet his time. What's he referring to? Well, he's looking forward to his crucifixion. He knows it's coming. He's going, it's not my time yet. We're not at the Passover. We're not ready for me to do my work. And so if I go up, then actually that's no good, because the crowds are looking for me. The Jewish religious leaders are there wanting my head. And the reason that they want his head is twofold. Firstly, they think that Jesus has broken the Sabbath law and is trying to get everyone else to break it as well. That they think that what Jesus is doing is saying, actually turn away from God rather than upholding their religion. Second, the religious leaders don't like how Jesus is talking about them. That he's confronting their way of being, saying you're so focused on the law that you actually miss the heart of God in it. And this is what some of the arguments are that Jesus makes in chapter 7 as you read it. You'll see Jesus talking about, well, the heart of God is to love people, and you're missing that. And so Jesus makes the comment to his brothers, I can't go up because the world hates me, because I say that the world doesn't do what it should. And that's loving God. Now, none of us like hearing that we've done something wrong either. Even when we're open to feedback about things, we can still find ourselves getting defensive and uptight and feeling attacked. And so we can only imagine and understand what the Pharisees and the other religious leaders are going through as Jesus talks to them about what is happening. That of course they're going to feel attacked and defensive as Jesus says, hey guys, you're missing the point here. You think you're doing the right thing, but actually you've missed God in the midst of this. And so of course we can understand, well, yeah, that's why they're defensive. That's why they're upset about it. And so when Jesus says, actually, we can't get into heaven on our own, that we need him and require him, it makes us uncomfortable. Because our natural heart bent since the garden is that we are naturally turned away from God. That we can do our own thing without any consequences. And for us today in this world, we don't like talking about sin. I mean, go and listen to one of the street preachers out the front of Flinders Street Station and see how people treat them. We don't like being uncomfortable when we talk about sin, and yet Jesus confronts it in his life. And the truth of Jesus talking about why the world hates him is that actually we don't naturally love God. Our heart bent is away from God. But to keep coming to Jesus, we need to confront the fact that actually what Jesus says about us is true. That we don't deserve to be in heaven. In our own strength, we don't deserve it. But it is not about us. It is all about Jesus. And so we need to confront the sin in our lives and say, God, yeah, I want to follow you and I want to look to you in everything. That I want you to be at work in me through the Holy Spirit, making me more into the person you have called me to be. That in this, then, we might know the truth of who God is. The other thing about our sin that we don't like when it comes to God is that it can actually stop us coming to God. Now, when we sin, we know that we've done wrong. And so we come to God with only half of who we are. We go, God, I'm going to ask for these safe things here because, well, I've sinned and I know that I need to pay my penance for it, and then you'll answer my prayers. No, actually, Jesus is saying, I've spoken against the world, but it doesn't matter. What I want is for you to come to me. Come and know the streams of living water. We need to look to Jesus for forgiveness and hope within this. The third thing that stops us and stops people coming to Jesus is our perceived knowledge of him. For the Jewish leaders, they were on the lookout for Jesus at the festival. They had already made up their minds. Even in Nicodemus's response to them, he says, have we actually heard what this man is saying? Or have we already made up our minds about him? It is their perceived knowledge of Jesus and what they think the Jewish religion is all about that stops them coming to Jesus. When Nicodemus says to them, have you heard what this guy says? Their response to him is this. Look, are you too from Galilee? Look it up. The prophet, that is the Messiah that we're waiting for, doesn't come from Galilee. It is their perception of who Jesus is and where he has come from that prevents them from following Jesus as the Messiah. Not only does it stop the religious leaders from coming to Jesus, but it is also the crowd's perceived knowledge of Jesus that prevents them coming to him too. Despite having witnessed these miracles that Jesus is doing, and despite being convinced that actually these miracles are a sign of the Messiah, because they ask the question, will the Messiah, when he comes, do more miracles than this man? No, this is what we're expecting. But hold on, this guy comes from Galilee. We perceive and we know that he comes from Galilee. And so when the Messiah comes, we won't know that. And so the perceived knowledge of the crowd actually prevents them from truly seeing who Jesus is. They go, well, we think we know what this is. And so actually, even though we're seeing all these signs, even though we're listening to your teaching and it seems amazing, we're not sure on this. Our perceived knowledge stops us coming to Jesus. It can be a barrier for us, whether we've been a Christian for a long time or not at all. If we've been a Christian for a long time, we can perceive that we know everything about Jesus. And so we then start to go in our own strength rather than pressing deeper into who God is. That sometimes we'll think we know what Jesus' answer is going to be in this situation, and so why should we come to him in it? Let's just do it anyway. But actually, no, we need to keep pressing on into Jesus. Our closeness with God should never prevent us coming more and more to him. In fact, our familiarity should lead us to greater need for God, greater dependence on him. Greater coming to him in each and every situation. And yet in our nation as well, there is also a perceived knowledge about Christianity and who God is. We are living in a post-Christian world. where people in generations past grew up with Christianity being taught to them. We still have Christian values undergirding the principles of society. And so because of that, we think we know what Christianity is all about, and we think we know the truth of it. Because we've heard the stories of how our family members, our friends, people that we know at work have been hurt by Christianity. And so how could we believe in that God? Because, well, we've seen all of the damage of it. And so we think we know who God is, and that's not for us. And it stops people coming and encountering the true Jesus. And so what's the antidote for this? The antidote is for the world to encounter the true Jesus. And the way that happens is through God breaking through, but it happens through you and I living out the kingdom of God with Jesus at work in us. And the other thing, as we talked about over the past weeks, is that happens as we pray for God to break through in the lives of our loved ones, the people that we encounter. That is God moving and God working in us and through us and in these situations that breaks through. And we get to partner with God within this. And the last reason for us this morning that stops people coming to Jesus, as we see in John 7, is that people don't know how to respond to him. That in the midst of all of these things, we see a heap of mixed responses to Jesus. We see his brothers telling him, come, show off to the world. The crowd says, is this the one the religious leaders are trying to kill? Then they say, he's crazy. Then they say, is this guy's doing a lot of miracles like the Messiah would, so is he the one? And the Pharisees and the religious leaders are like, sick him. And then the guards say, we've never heard anyone teach this way. Sometimes the thing that stops us coming to Jesus is we don't know how to respond to him. Where do we go with this? What should be our response? Jesus' answer is simple. He says it in John 7, and we didn't read it, but he says, let those who are thirsty come to me and drink, and I will give them living water. Let those who want life come to Jesus and drink of the living water that is the Holy Spirit at work in us. This is what our response to Jesus is. Simply to come and trust him. To keep turning to him no matter what. To keep saying, God, you are Lord of all and we trust you in this. It is this teaching of come to me, all who are thirsty, and drink the living water that says to the temple guards, we haven't heard teaching like this. It changes their perspective because it's always been about what can we do to get right with God. And here is a man, the Messiah, saying to them, forget about that. Come and be. Come and rest in my love and goodness, that we might know the truth of God and he might be at work in you. And so this morning, as we concluded our time of singing praises to God and worshiping God through song, we did so saying, God, we look to you. And we're going to do the same thing again now. And I invite you, whatever stops you turning from to Jesus, maybe it's one of the things we've talked about in this, maybe it's something else that is stopping you turning to Jesus. Right now in this prayer time, come and lay it at his feet. And come and say, God, I want to trust you in each and every situation, no matter what. And I want to keep coming to you, knowing your love and goodness. Let's pray. God, we thank you that Through Jesus, we know the truth of who you are. That you don't call us to a system of religion, but you call us to you. You call us to keep walking with you. You call us to know you at work in us. And so this morning, God, we just take this moment to come and lay at your feet again. To come and look to you and trust you in everything. And I invite you, whatever words come to mind, just to say them quietly in your heart to God and saying, God, I want to look to you and I want to trust you. I want to keep trusting you. I want to keep looking to you. God, made our own ideas. May the times that we fall short, may our perceived knowledge never stop us coming to you. God, when we're in doubt, when things are happening, good and bad, may we come to you and trust you with all that we are. Knowing that indeed you are the Lord and Saviour, our one and only hope. And that we might know you, know your love, and walk in light of your love for us with love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.